Okay, Chaver, thank you so much for staying around. On this week's Parshas Vayera, there are a few very interesting Rashis I want to focus on at the beginning of Vayera. Again, some of these are, I think, some of the most famous Rashis in Chumash, but as we approach them as adults, I think we see new light in Rashi. The pasuk begins, "Vayirah Allah Hashem Elonim Amrei, Behu Yoshev Pesach Ha'okachom Hayom." HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Avram in the plains of Mamre. He's sitting at the entrance to his tent. Avram looks up and he sees three people are standing. He runs to them, etc. We know the story in the Chumash. So Rashi comments, very famous Rashi, "Vayirah Allah Hashem Zot Rashi Levaker Asachola." Rashi comments that HaKadosh Baruch appears to Avram to do Bikur Cholam. The Almighty Himself is making a social visit. Now, how does Rashi know that the Almighty is making a social visit, right? What informs Rashi to make this comment? Any suggestions?
Besides Sota Yudalet.
So, Rashi quotes a Gemara in Sota Yudalet. Okay, so that's like begging the question. And what informed the Gemara? What did the Gemara see? It happened right before. Exactly. The end of Parshas Lech Lecha, the Torah speaks about Avram Avinu gets a bris milah. And then, right, the pasuk says Hashem appeared to him. But Rashi is always bothered by something textual. Now, it's not just context. It has to be text. So what is the textual issue that's motivating Rashi to make his comment? So let's think. How, if your composition teacher would see that you write a sentence that said, "The Lord appeared to him," as the opening sentence of a book, what would your composition teacher say?
Who is him?
Right? Correct? So therefore, Zakt Rashi, I'll tell you who the him is, it's going back on the end of Lech Lecha.
Oh.
Right? What indicates to Rashi going back on the end of Lech Lecha is, Vayira Elav Hashem, Hashem appeared to him. Him only makes sense if I know that we're talking about Avram from the end of Lech Lecha. So far, so good? Let's say more. Usually, God appears to someone. What happens? What's missing from Pasuk Aleph?
A statement.
Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say anything. So Zakt Rashi, that means that there is a kiyum of Bikur Cholam. Because, now, in Halacha, it's interesting. In Halacha, the Ramban paskins, and this is, it's the Ramban in Taras HaAdam, it's paskin in Shulchan Aruch in Yerudei Yisim in Shin Lamed. Hey, that I don't fulfill Bikur Cholam unless I daven. Right? People sometimes think that you're Mevaker Chola, and you just say, "Hi Sadie, hi Gertrude, how you doing?" Right? The Ramban says that you have to daven. Now, presumably, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to daven, because davening for the, right, we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bikur Cholim, right, is doing what our tefillah does, right? Makes sense. So, but it's interesting that the paradigm in Chumash for Bikur Cholim is Bikur Cholim of the Ribbono Shel Olam, Bikur Cholim that doesn't involve talking. We do have halachas in Bikur Cholim, afilu gadol eitzel katan, no? There's a halacha that even the gadol hadar is supposed to do Bikur Cholim to people who are far lower than him, right? Even the most prominent woman in town is supposed to do Bikur Cholim to some shmendrik who's sick. They say, by the way, that Chacham Avadi Yosef Zichrono Livracha was very careful when he was the chief rabbi in Cairo to go and do Bikur Cholim for people. In particular, Erev Yom HaKippurim, he'd go through the hospital and he would go with the doctors and he'd ask the doctor, so-and-so, what's his condition, what's her condition? Do they have to eat on Yom Kippur? The doctor said, yeah, they have to eat. And Chacham Avadi walk into a person and say, "I'm the chief rabbi, I'm telling you, you have to eat." Right? Because sometimes, again, there's an attitude that certain people have, the Chas V'Shalom, no, not to fast in Yom HaKippurim, but if Chacham Avad Yosef, if the chief rabbi is telling you that you better not fast, so then
no
you're going to listen. So The halach of Bikur Cholem, afil gado eto katan, is derived from the fact that Kaddish Baruch, as great as Avram is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is greater. Right? So we learn Bikur Cholem afilu gado eto katan. Zok the Gemara, and Zokt Rashi in parentheses. Now Rashi in parentheses means that this did not appear in the first edition of Rashi. It appears in the later editions of Rashi. So that's why in your Rashis also you have it in brackets and parentheses, no?
Amar
Reb Chama Bar Chanina. Yom Shlishi Lemilaso Hayabar Kadosh Baruch Hu V'sha'al B'shlomo. Kadosh Baruch Hu comes and asks Avram, how are you doing? Because it's day three of the Bris Milah. Now, in grade school, how did we understand this?
That's when the pain is the worst.
It's the pain is worse, right? That's what they taught you in right, Breuer's Elementary School, Gil Chayinach, we've spoken about this. Wonderful, pain is worse, right? By Yom HaShlishi, by Yosom Ko'avim, by Yechush Shimon V'Levi Ish Harbo, by Yavol La'ir Betach, right? That Shimon and Levi killed the city of Shechem, day three, when there is intense pain. Day three, the pain is worse. Well, that's a nice idea. First of all, it's probably not true. You see, day one is worse than day three. Right? I mean, anyone who's ever had surgery on anything, right? Or even if you haven't had surgery, I'm pretty sure I broke my toe like 2 weeks ago. I woke up in the middle of the night, I kicked something, my toe was like still this fat. I couldn't walk like for a few days. It was like really hurting like every time. But now, I can walk, it still hurts, but I can walk a little bit, right? As time goes on, it hurts less, generally. So what does it mean, Yom Shlishi? Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming to visit Dafka on day three, right, if the pain is not more intense? If what we learned in grade school is not correct, so why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming on day three? Who wants to make a suggestion?
To give our... Well, he gives... It's giving Abraham the opportunity to be to fulfill Hachnasat Orchim.
Right. So day three. In other words, Hakadosh Baruch Hu waits till day three. But why is God doing the Bikur Cholim? Right. We have Bikur Cholim and Hachnasas Orchim. By the way, it's interesting. I once spoke about this in yeshiva. We have lots of what the Rambam calls in Perek Yudal of Hilchos Eivah Gemilas Chasadim Shebegufo. There's Hachnasas Kala. There's dancing at a wedding. There's Gemilas Chesed Chebegufo. The only two examples that we see in Chumash of Gemilas Chesed Chebegufo is Bikur Cholem and Hachnasas Arkem, both by Avram Avinu, both at the beginning of Parshas Vayera. Again, Chumash as understood through the eyes of the Gemara and the Rishonim, right?
Kavuras Moshe?
What?
Kavuras Moshe?
Kavuras Moshe is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself buries Moshe, that's true. And Malbish Arumim also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes, that's all Saita Yodalet, by the way, that we learn Gemilas Chesed Shebegufo from what the Ribbono Shel Olam himself does. Right? It's part of Mahu Afata. It's part of that we should be like the Ribbono Shel Olam, Imitatio Dei. That's part of it. But let's just focus for a second. The Rambam paskins, and this is paskin in Shulchan Aruch, most people don't do this, that you're not supposed to be mevarka chola when the chola is at his or her worst. If I remember, we quoted that Ramban. The Ramban says that chelak of the mitzvah bikur cholam is that you're supposed to daven for the person. If I'm going to walk in and I'm going to see that the guy is chalashing, they're like, I'm like, oh my gosh, right? I might daven, but I might daven the other way, right? Remember, the round in the Durham Paskins, that if someone is really, really in terrible, terrible pain, don't do this without rabbinic approval, but you should daven. You always daven, but daven for the person to die, not to live. It's a very, very hard halacha for people. The Aruch HaShulchan Paskins like that round in the Durham, right? The famous round in the Durham, Daf Mem, that you're supposed to daven for a chola to die sometimes. When the Yehuda had...
Is it to die? Or, you know, Hashem, do whatever you're going to do.
So that's called taking the Fifth Amendment. That's called, like...
Because how
so some are scared to daven for someone to die. So they daven in the way, HaKadosh Baruch, you do what's best. But on some level, that's not tefillah. Because let's be honest, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels is best anyway. Right? Tefillah is supposed to be that by me davening, I'm adding additional zechuyos to the world, and I'm changing, again, the whole question of what changing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mind is, etc., and how tefillah works is a very fundamental question in Yahadus. Right, God knows everything, and I don't know if we can, but God probably wants us to change. In other words, maybe there's a gezeira that so-and-so is going to be sick because there aren't enough mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim going on in Washington Heights. And when I go and I daven, and when I go and I'm mevaker chola, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, you know what, this community is not as bad, I don't have to frighten the community anymore, we'll keep the person. But there is a
thing... It's tough on the person to be the scapegoat.
Huh? Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has so many different kashbonos. God thinks of that. God thinks about things like they're so. It's the most elaborate calculation possible. But most we paskin Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam paskins that you're not supposed to do bikur cholim when in the first few hours of the day when the person's really sick, because then you might not daven properly, or you might chaps v'shalom daven the opposite way. You do bikachon when the person is at a strong moment. Right? By the way, sometimes you have to know, sometimes you have to know also that part of bikacholim is that you come and then you have to leave, no?
Mm-hmm.
People sometimes
make...
By the way, there's some YouTube videos out there. A friend of mine growing up with a guy, Mech Cohen, who's like the funniest guy growing up.
Yeah.
So he has these YouTube videos about like Biker Cholen. So tell me, you think you're gonna die? Don't say that! Hey! Yeah. You don't say that. Oh, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu does Biker Cholen. That's the first Rashi. Next Rashi. Right? Rashi over here, by the way, quotes the statement of Reb Chama, Reb Chanina. It's atypical, it's unusual for Rashi to mention the name of the opinion in the Midrash. Usually Rashi quotes Midrashim as Midrash Agada. To say that Reb Chama, Reb Chanina says is unusual. So in the Shavel Rashi, he comments that maybe what Rashi means is as follows. I have no real evidence. This is Yom Shlishi Lamiloso. Reb Chama Reb Chanina said it. He was a holy Jew. He probably had a tradition that way. But there's no real evidence that this is on day 3 of the Mila. Rashi usually does not quote Midrashim that are not addressing a problem. And just to give me information, that's not Rashi's job. Right? But okay. Next Rashi. Be'elone Mamre. Says Rashi, "Hu shenasa lo etza al hamila lo fikach nigla elav b'chelko." Right, there are three giants on their Eshkol Mamre. Mamre gave Avram Avinu advice to get a bris mila, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewarded Mamre, and Hashem appears to Avram in Mamre's territory. That's what Rashi says. What's the problem with this, Rashi?
We don't find that he gave an etza.
We don't find a game eight. So Rashi's adding that, but what's Rashi bothered by? So l'chor, Rashi is bothered by that where God appears is immaterial to the story. No? God appeared to Avram to be Mevakar Chola because of what we said beforehand. Why are we saying anything about Elon Amram? Right? The Teretz is that Rashi is saying, oh, this is all connected to Mila, like we saw from the word Elov, and therefore Mamre is connected to Mila, because Mamre gave Avram advice about Mila. Now, conceptually, this is a little bit difficult. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram Avinu, Abe, dude, fellow, I want you to get a bris Mila. And then, what happens? Avram asks Mamre, tell me, Mamre, should I get a bris or not? Why is Avram asking Mamre about getting a bris? Hu shenasim lo etza al hamila. Isn't this a difficult Rashi? Why is Avram Avinu asking Mamre? And of all people, right? Why Mamre? Hey, speak to Sarai, speak to your wife, right? Is someone better, Mamre. Shame, Aver. Hey, there's got to be someone better to speak to. So the Taz wrote a commentary on Rashi called the Divrei Dovid. The Taz's name was David, no? David Halevi. The Shach is a Kohen and the Taz is a Levi. So the Taz in the Divrei David comments that what Avraham Avinu is asking is as follows. He says, Mamre, Hashem told me I should get a bris. This is a little bit of a problem because I'm in the Kiruv business, says Avraham Avinu. My job is to connect with the people around me. If I'm going to be different than everybody, I might not be able to make a connection. And therefore, Avraham Avinu is asking Mamre, you know what, Mamre, maybe I should do what Hashem said and get the bris, but maybe I should do it in private. Maybe I should hide it. So Mamre says, no, Avraham, God told you to do something, do it in public. So Eloni Mamre is where Avraham had a whole, he had mamish a bris mila, bagels and lox and everything. The makar of bagels and lox is right here. Right? So Eloni, that's a different ksaviyat of Rashi. But Eloni Mamre, Mamre gives Avraham advice. Now, by the way, this is always a tension for rabbis, for educators. To what extent are you like one of the boys, one of the girls? To what extent do you sit around schmoozing and shooting the breeze? And to what extent do you maintain a certain distance? No? My guess is that embroiderers, they probably take the approach that the Rebbe is different. The Rav, there is a certain status, right? And you don't sit around joking with the rabbi, right? I remember this was like a big question when I was in high school. So we used to have what we called the retreat. Once a year we'd go to a hotel, and it was a very nice Shabbos. I remember like Friday night we had like an open question and answer with the Rosh Hashiva. So one of the guys asked the Rosh Hashiva, Rosh Hashiva Rabbi Pear, well, in those days he was like 6'6". Now, you know, he's probably getting older, he's probably 6'5". And he's a big guy. So someone asked Rosh Hashiva, how come you never play basketball with us? Good question. So he said, well, I have to
maintain
a certain distance. Like, to play ball with students would be lowering myself to your level. But he was also probably worried that maybe we were better than him. At least that's my assessment of the situation. But that's a certain hashgafa. That's an approach. That's not the approach of Mamre. Right? Mamre is saying, you know, advertising. By the way, and this is true also about as Jews, so we're descendants of Avraham. To what extent are we supposed to be part of the world community? And to what extent do we advertise our differences?
It's a not dynamic tension.
It's a built-in tension to who we are, and it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
I mean, this week I got a few questions that people are asking about Halloween parties in work. No? I'm not into Halloween. I'm more into December 25th than I am into Halloween. Like, Halloween has genuine pagan origins. Halloween, it also became a very, I don't know if there's an English word, it's like a very prust day, yes, on a certain level. Last night, I was on the Dentori yesterday, last night I was taking the train back from, you know, downtown, like around 8 o'clock at night, and I didn't want to be on that train. You don't want to be there. And that's what I was telling people, like, Halloween is something, like, you want to maintain a distance. There is a sense, I think, that you want to be part of the office culture and you want to be part of the chevra, but you also want to maintain a difference, right? Avraham Avinu is a part of and a part from, right? And that is a very important dynamic in who Avraham Avinu is. Hi.
Do you think December 25th is better?
On a certain level, the parties, the office parties on December 25th are less gross. They're less disgusting.
Slightly.
I mean, in every sort of way.
Yeah,
yeah. Quick, whose birthday is it on Christmas?
Yours.
Yeah. It's like, whose birthday is it on Christmas?
Okay, Yoshev. Zuck Rashi, right? Again, I don't know if we'll get much past the first pasuk tonight, but we're trying to learn Rashi. We're not just reading them. Yoshev. So Rashi comments that the word Yoshev could be spelled both with a vav and without a vav. In the Torah, it's written Yoshav Ksiv without a vav. Bikesh la'amod. Avram wanted to get up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you sit and I'll stand. Ba'ata simul vanecha she'osani lahisyatze ba'adas hadayonim behen yosham and dayonim sinadin tayra. The dayonim sin as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is standing. Shenema alokim nitsa ba'adas keel. Fine. Now, what's Rashi saying is like this. Yoshev is present tense. Present tense means it started before and it goes on after. Yashav is past tense. Past tense means you were sitting and then you got up. Says Rashi, there's a tension in the word. Yoshev Yashav. It's written without a vav. And the Torah should have written it with a vav, because by writing it without a vav, in the Torah without nekudos, you might pronounce it wrong. So says Rashi, the idea of Yoshev slash Yashav is that Avram was sitting beforehand. He continues to sit after, but he wanted to be Yashav. He wanted to get up. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, no, 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 don't get up. You sit. And you'll be a simin, you'll indicate that sometimes God stands and the dayonim sit, etc. Now, there's a difficulty, again, in halacha, that you're not allowed to tell someone, there are two people you can't tell to sit. Right? If you ever go to be Menachem Avon, and the Avel is standing, don't say sit, the Gemara says. Because if I say sit, it's as if I'm saying remain an Avel, sit down. And if I say sit to a chola, the Gemara says, it's as if I'm saying sit, stay sick. And we want you to get better. So they ask on Rashi, right, Rashi, how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Avram, you sit, right? You're not supposed to say sit, you sit. So that indicates to Rashi, maybe this is the Pshat and Rashi, Sheva ani e'emod. I'm not allowed to tell you just to sit, but I'm allowed to have a full sentence. You know what? You sit, I'll stand. That's okay, because then no one can infer from your statement, sit and remain seating. Remember, sit is a sense of being at rest, which means don't move, right? So says Rashi, okay. Again, Rashi, the next Pesach Ohel Avram is usually when you're sick. Where do you stay?
Inside.
Inside, no? Now, why would you be outside if you are sick?
Because it's not painful and you're waiting for the guest to invite people in.
If it's not painful, right, then you could be outside, but then you're not really sick anymore. By the way, it's unclear in halacha. How sick, I've had this suffix for a few years, how sick does someone have to be to fulfill the mitzvah of Bikur Cholam? Were you ever bothered by this question? In halacha we have chola sheyesh bo sakana, chola sheein bo sakana, mechush, there are different levels of illness.
That's very subjective.
So you're suggesting that anyone who would appreciate your visit, there's a mitzvah of Bikur Cholam?
Not necessarily. It's a very individual thing, you know, you could be so sick that you really don't want to see anybody. Not so sick that you like a chance that you're now away from it all, you don't want to see anybody. Right. Or in both cases, I think the opposite could be true. Maybe.
I mean, Bikur Cholam is a challenging mitzvah. People don't realize that there are like real halachos of Bikur Cholam. Sometimes, I mean, I have to admit, there have been times with people who I was like very close with that I felt I couldn't visit them towards the end because I had a cousin who was Nifter. I mentioned this to you a few times. Like the only cousin I was like really close with as a kid. He was a couple of years younger than me, but he grew up a few blocks away from me. We played baseball cards together as kids, and his oldest daughter just had her bas mitzvah 2 weeks ago. So at the end, I just couldn't visit him.
No,
I couldn't do it. And my parents kept on saying, no, you have to go. You have to go to see Zevi. It was so close. I was like, I couldn't do it. So finally, my father, I could say no to most people. I can't say no to my father. My father calls me up and says, Ezra, you have to go. So I went. And I feel bad that I went. Because I would have preferred my memories of him to be, better. And when I went, you know, I sort of went, I don't think he knew I was there. It was like all the way at the end. And I was going to say goodbye to him. And that's not Bikur Cholam. On some level, I don't know if I'm going for my, Bikur Cholam is I'm going for your purposes. But if I'm going because I want to say goodbye, I don't know if that's Bikur Cholam.
They want to say goodbye.
Well, maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's offline.
Can I
It's hard to know what they want. It's very hard. I'm just thinking, Avraham Avinu is not so sick. He's not in the tent. He's outside, but he still is sick enough. He's not really moving. It's ki'ilu, sometimes, you know, you have an ill person, and they're able to go on the porch. That's when there's Bikur Cholam. That's the way I would have understood Avraham being Pesach HaOhel. Rashi, however, doesn't learn like me. Rashi has to have a whole drasha. How come Avraham is not inside? Right? Because, says Rashi, Avraham is looking for guests. He wants to be Machnas Oreach. Right? I would have learned that Bikur Cholam does not apply to someone who's extremely sick and has to be at home. It only applies when you're somewhat well. Rashi is saying, no, there's Bikur Cholam when you're really sick inside the house also. Right? So how come Avraham's outside? Right? I would have made a halachic drasha from this pasuk, but I'm not Rashi. I'm just...
You read these accounts of people who commit suicide in the presence of others, and there's this whole...
The Times had this awful story in the Times magazine. I don't know, awful. It's not, as a Jew, that rubs me so the wrong way.
But I think the point that I'm trying to make is, I don't think there are any...
But that guy had enough presence of mind that he was arranging the way he wanted to die.
Right.
It was like an assisted suicide, and he had all of his... I don't know.
Let's say with an arsehole, this is an experience that is highly individualistic. Do you want someone to be mevakeh chol? Don't you want someone?
Is your point before. So my general approach to life is that halacha guides us, and we need rules and guidelines for when to... In other words, to take the individualistic approach is basically saying that you don't know when to do the mitzvah unless someone tips you off. But as...
I get that.
And I need to know, when do I have a mitzvah? Okay, the last Rashi, and then I just will break for 5 minutes before Ma'ariv. Kichom Hayom. Rashi says HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the sun out of a certain shield that the sun has, and because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to bother Avraham Avinu with all the guests. But then Hashem sees that Avraham is mitzta'er, he's bothered, that guests aren't coming, so he brings angels who appear like people. That's Rashi. Now, Rashi is probably bothered by the following thing. Rashi is probably bothered that the Torah should say Bichom Hayom, that it's during the hot part of the day. Kichom Hayom means approximate. And Rashi is saying it's Kichom, it's like that known heat, which is the heat that will come when the Kadosh Baruch Hu is Motzi Chama Min Artikom, when the Kadosh Baruch Hu takes the sun out of its shield. It's interesting that the Gemara elsewhere, the Gemara at the beginning of Nedarim, has a comment that Lo Asid Lavo in Mashiach times, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take the sun out of its shield. Actually, Rashi referred to this in Bereishis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a very powerful sun, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu shielded it, hid it, and it's given over to the tzaddikim for Lo Asid Lavo. When Mashiach comes, Hashem will take that sun out, and what will happen is that powerful sun will be merape the chola. Right? The Gemara says that when the sun comes out, it will heal all of the ill people.
Shemesh
Marpe. Right? That's Rabbi Nehersh's Sefer. Rabbi Nehersh, whatever, has the Sefer Shemesh Marpe. But it's interesting that Rashi does not... Again, the question when you learn Rashi is, why does Rashi choose this Medrash, not that Medrash? Why does Rashi choose the Medrash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing the sun out in order, to deter guests from coming, but Avraham still wants guests, rather than HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking the sun out to heal Avraham Avinu? So maybe Rashi feels that that's only Lo Asid Lavo, and even for a tzaddik like Avraham Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to take it out unless for Bikur Cholam. Perhaps. But again, it's just striking. It's something to think about why Rashi chooses Medrash A instead of Medrash B. I actually prepared much more, but thank you for coming. Thank you for waiting until I came. Yasher Koach. I might have to rethink about how to do this. Again, if people don't mind beginning at 9:15, that's okay, but let me rethink.